Good morning, a Monday morning with our political observer, Alan Chartok, hoping you have gotten rest, not only our listeners, but you, Alan, and the ankle. How you feeling?
Well, I have to confess, when you get up in the morning, it still really, really hurts. But as the day goes on, it feels a little bit better. But why complain?
Yes, why complain? Because there's always something to complain about. Apparently also
Absolutely.
For President Donald Trump, who intensified his attacks on the news media during his appearance at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference, reiterating charges of fake news outlets and that, well, I guess, Alan, we're the enemy of the people, including this, as the Times called it, unusual breach of relations between the White House and its press corps, CNN, the New York Times, other organizations, basically blocked from the White House press briefing, which seems to ratchet up again the get-even tactics against the media.
David, this is extraordinary. This is the first 100 days of a president who just can't get himself out of the way. In the beginning, it was amusing to his base. There he goes again. He's certainly busting things up. He's giving them a tough time. But now it's not amusing anymore. So now we find a certain rampant paranoia about how things are going. A couple of things that become evident. The first is what you've been talking about, having what they call a gaggle. Now, a gaggle isn't a regular press briefing. You bring people into your office, and specifically excluded were the people who've been doing the best reporting, the CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and a few more, and BuzzFeed. And basically you say, okay, you're out. Well, this is something that these people are not going to forget. And, you know, I have no doubt that it is going to come back and really bite them in the posterior, because now we see Michael Reskes, the head guy at NPR News, and a very good guy, by the way, saying, cut it out. We're not going to participate. We're going to support our colleagues. Good for him. Well, I would expect no less of them. In any case, it does look like it's a terrible error on their part, because now it looks vindictive, and now we have to decide why it's vindictive. Well, it leads to the next thing. So now Spicer calls everybody into the room, and he has them lay their cell phones on the table and says, we're going to check all of these cell phones to make sure it isn't you. And by the way, if you're using an encrypted system, that's not allowed under the law, and you better not be. So there's an expectation that people in the White House communications division are leaking. So now you have the kicking out of the Times and the Post and all, and you have the laying down of phones as if these are school children on a table, and you say, we're going to check all of these phones to make sure it's not you doing the leaking. And this from a president who says he doesn't mind the Russians leaking at all and was a big fan of leaking. Now he's not so much of a fan. So then the next issue is, what do you got to lose? Of course, it does seem to be something that is really scaring the heck out of them. And it has to do with, I believe, the Russians, because these investigations are going forward. There's tremendous pressure on the Senate and the House to do something. Now, they're not doing what they should be doing. They're not having a special committee, but they are getting pressure. And Trump's numbers keep going down. If his numbers go down, and if this begins to eat into his base, then that would spell a real disaster, because many of these congressmen have to run for office, David. And if it's them or him, it's going to be him. So that sort of wraps up the war against the press, an enemy of the people indeed. You all had to read Ibsen back in college. An enemy of the people.
Well, you mentioned election, and there was an election to the DNC chairmanship. It turned out to be Tom Perez, the former Labor Secretary for President Barack Obama. He immediately brought in Minnesota Representative Keith Ellison as his deputy, somewhat quelling the raucous response after his election.
Well, that's right. As soon as Ellison was not elected, and he would have, of course, been in that office as the first Muslim to hold that office, his people started yelling and screaming, and he very graciously took the microphone and told everybody to shut up. And Perez, the winner, told everybody that he was making Ellison the vice chair. Now, this, of course, showed us a schism in the party between the so-called liberal community and the Obama-Clinton side of things. Clearly, Obama had helped to win Perez this office. In fact, he was his labor secretary. And Ellison will stay in the House. That's a good thing, where he's needed. But also, it showed tremendous organization on the part of the left of the party, of the Sanders stripe, who were not willing to make it the same old, and to allow the mistakes of the past. So I think that the party did well to sort of resolve this and to make sure that everybody came out of this thing friends. Best thing that Ellison said was, we can't afford this division now.